You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. Today I'll be covering one story, and that's an update of the Benghazi scandal, because we've had some breaking news in the last couple of days, both in Congress and in the White House with Jay Carney, the president's press secretary, but more importantly with the release of a document, an email, of Ben Rhodes, who's a advisor to President Obama. And this email, for those that are new to my show, you can actually read the email. I have an image of it on my website, and that's the companion website for this show. That's pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops, pronkpops.wordpress.com. And I have at the very top the actual image of the email, and I suggest you read it because it's very interesting, because this is really in the White House. Remember, he works in the White House. He used to be a speechwriter. Ben Rhodes used to be a speechwriter for the president. He was promoted to a national security advisor, one of the deputies. He's an assistant. And he was the gentleman responsible on prepping United Nations Ambassador Susan Rice, that when she went on the five Sunday shows to blame what happened in Benghazi on an internet video. Now, I've said on past shows, and I've done shows on Benghazi, this is really an update, I watched all five shows. I happened to be in Florida and watched all five shows. I was interested in the subject. I wanted to hear what Susan Wright says. And she was blaming the attack that we know was an attack. And the CIA know it, the U.S. military knows it, Congress knows it, the CIA station chief that was actually there and the people on the ground there know this was a planned, organized attack. There was no spontaneous demonstration or protest that turned into an attack. That, ladies and gentlemen, was a lie, and the lie was apparently created in the White House. It's still not clear who came up with this cockamamie story that it was an internet video that caused the so-called attack. I, at the time, said, they got to be kidding me. This is a joke. Are they serious? They were deadly serious. Why? Because only a week before, remember, this is between 7 and 8 weeks before the election. The election was in November of 2012. At the Democratic Convention, we killed bin Laden, and the Al-Qaeda is on the run. That was the message coming out of the Democratic Convention. The problem, ladies and gentlemen, is Al-Qaeda was not on the run. They were on the attack, and they attacked in Benghazi, resulting in the deaths of four Americans, including the United States ambassador there, Chris Stevens. So what's new? What does this do? This is a memo that, first of all, this is sort of like a cover-up of a cover-up of a cover-up, and I'll get to that in a minute. Congress requested documents from the White House. Many of those documents that Congress requested were redacted. That's a fancy way to say they blacked it out, including this document, so you couldn't understand what was in it. It was incomprehensible. But this is a memo from Ben Rhodes to the people in the White House communications. There's a list of them, including Press Secretary Jay Carney, that there was going to be a phone call Saturday to prep the United Nations ambassador. Now, that's fairly standard policy under any White House. That's not the issue here. The issue is the Central Intelligence Agency, as well as the military and the CIA chief, all knew this was not caused by a video on YouTube. It was ridiculous. Everyone knew it was ridiculous, and everyone in the loop there knew it was ridiculous, because they had originally what the CIA prepared were talking points as to what happened, and this was not in them. And recently, the former deputy director of the CIA said, didn't come from us, because they knew it was a planned attack. They knew it. So why did they do this? Well, that's not hard to understand. This, if they admitted it was a planned attack, that puts the lie to the fact that they were claiming during the Democratic Convention that Al-Qaeda was on the run. You're not on the run when you attack a U.S. diplomatic facility. It wasn't a Tripoli is the capital of Libya. That's where our embassy is. Benghazi's on the other side of the country. It's near the coast, but it's on the west. It's on the east side of the country. Tripoli is in the west, and it was a very dangerous place to be. Why? The British pulled out because they had intelligence that Al Qaeda was going to attack the Red Cross, the British, as well as the United States facilities there. There were two, namely the so-called diplomatic facility where the ambassador was and ultimately got killed, as well as the so-called CIA annex. It was a compound of several buildings. Now, I'm going to get back to what the CIA was doing here. But what's new, and I encourage you to go online and look at, I want to read the exact words, because you need to hear this. It's just simply amazing. But even better yet, you really should go look at it. So those that are new to the show, not only go to prompopstop.wordpress.com, at the very top you'll have links to all the shows. Well, at the very top, the last 60 shows, at the very bottom you'll have links to all the shows, entire portfolio. Under goals, there are actually four goals. They don't number them. But this is the key one. To underscore that these protests are rooted in an internet video and not a broader failure of policy. Let me read it one more time. To underscore that these protests are rooted in an internet video and not a broader failure of policy. The attack in Benghazi was not a protest, was not a demonstration. The key people on the ground, including the ambassador, literally one of the last things the ambassador said, remember, that's Chris Stevens in Benghazi, was in contact with his number two, Hicks, Gregory Hicks, were under attack. He didn't say a protest. There was no evidence of a protest or demonstration. And that was clearly communicated to the State Department, to the CIA, and to the White House. They knew that within literally hours of the beginning. Remember, she went on a Sunday show several days after this attack, where they had a lot more information. What we don't know is who came up with this cover story. I think it probably came out of the State Department, but I don't know. It could have been the White House. It could have been someone on the White House staff. Could be Ben Rose. I don't know. Or it's someone in the State Department, namely the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton. Now, it's important to realize that for 2 weeks, this was the cover story given by the President of the United States, his Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, the United Nations Ambassador, Susan Wright, as well as his Press Secretary, Jay Carney. That was the story they were peddling to the American people. An incredible story. And the media really stayed away from it. Anyone with an ounce of common sense would say, I don't believe it. It's nonsense. Nonsense. And it was nonsense. But they had to put out the big lie, and that's what it is, the big lie, the big cover-up, that it was a video that resulted in this four people being killed. The reason this is a planned, organized attack is it was successful. It was a well-carried-out and executed attack, both on the CIA annex and the diplomatic facility. You don't just wake up one morning and remember, two of the CIA employees, former SEALs, were on the roof of the CIA annex, and they got killed by mortar shells. You have to be trained and know how to zero in to to kill people. You just don't drop the mortar shell down the tube and it's going to shoot out and hit. Remember, what date did this happen? It happened on September 11th, the anniversary of 9/11. This was planned. They were going to do it. There was intelligence that they were planning it, and the United States was on the list. That's why the British pulled out. That's why the ambassador there was pleading for more security, and his requests were denied. That's another part of the scandal. I'm going to get to the heart of it, though, because I think too much attention is being placed on the question, well, who came up with this stupid cover story about the internet video? Now, I think it's an important question that should be answered, because that was the lie that was broadcast to the American people by four of the top people in the Obama administration, including President Obama in the General Assembly. He repeated the lie. Ladies and gentlemen, the Obama administration has an integrity problem. That's a nice way to say is they lie. And because they lie repeatedly and habitually, the American people simply don't trust them. Would you trust someone that continually lies to you? I wouldn't. I would ignore what he says. I don't have time to figure out, well, is he telling me the truth here? Is he misleading me here? Or is he telling me a bald-faced lie? In this instance, it was a bald-faced lie, either concocted at the White House or in the Department of State or both, probably both. Someone came up with this idea. You know, prior to this surfacing, this YouTube video had very, very, very few hits. Nobody ever saw it. And I will be the first to agree with the president. It was a very insulting video to the religion of Islam. And it might get people that believe in that faith upset. The problem is very few people knew about it. Even in the United States, forget about in Egypt or Libya or Africa or anywhere in the Middle East. They were trying to blame what happened on a video. And it backfired royally because it was what I would call a cover story. Now, cover stories are supposed to last really for a short period of time. And this cover story succeeded because the press simply didn't do their job. Some did, but most did not. Because if they did their job, a lot of the information that has since come out, remember, this came out, the attack was on September 11th and 12th of 2012. The election year, 8 weeks away from the election. And then on the following Sunday, you had the UN ambassador appearing on five of the Sunday shows like Meet the Press, Face the Nation, ABC, Fox. And she said basically the same thing. She said, what's in this memo? She underscored that these were protests that were rooted in the internet video. In other words, people in Benghazi got online. I want you to follow this. They got online, saw the video, and then they protested in the streets. That's what the White House, the UN ambassador, was trying to make you believe. Now, the other thing that they were trying to make you believe, and this is trying to confuse you, that most of what she was saying was based on CIA. It's what the Central Intelligence Agency told her. What the Central Intelligence Agency said was this was an attack, and they identified the group. It's an affiliated with Al-Qaeda, Anwar al-Sharia. I have trouble pronouncing it. They knew the name of the group. Why both the Central Intelligence Agency, the National Security Agency, and military intelligence were trying to quickly track down to attribute the attack to someone. And they all came to the same conclusion based on both human and signals intelligence and people on the ground there. Who muddied the water was the White House. Why did they did it? The president was running for re-election. And they had debates scheduled. And they didn't want this to be brought up. And unfortunately for Mitt Romney, he didn't bring it up. He should have brought it up. Now, we spend a lot of time on this. And the media is spending time on it today. This is a subject of literally all your talk shows are covering this, as is Fox News and other stations. You see, the media is mad. Why? They were lied to, deliberately lied to, and the media doesn't like to be deliberately lied to, and Jay Carney is not a very good liar, and he's continuing try to muddy the waters. The memo is rather clear, Jay, rather clear. And we know what Susan Wright said because you can go on YouTube and play the clips. She said almost the identical thing on all five of those Sunday television shows. And they were successful. The American people tuned out, as did the press. See, it didn't play with the narrative that President Obama killed bin Laden and Al-Qaeda was on the run. Now, what were they truly trying to cover up? That's where I'm very frustrated. And hopefully, eventually, we'll learn what it is. And I say eventually, we know more or less what happened. The United States government is never going to admit it, and I have beginning to have serious doubts if Congress will ever get to the bottom of this. Because this needs to be done on public television. And this is something that the United States government doesn't want on public television. It's the last thing they want on public television. What am I talking about? The Central Intelligence Agency, whether it's the Eisenhower administration, Kennedy, Johnson, you could go through all the presidents since the creation of the Central Intelligence Agency in the early 50s. They have conducted what's called covert operations. What is a covert operation? First, it's one that can be denied. You don't want it publicized that the United States is doing this. They're secret. They're hidden from who? The American people as well as the American media. This is what the CIA engages in a covert operation should not appear in the papers or on television or on the radio. Now, because of past problems with that, some have been very, very successful. And they have overthrown leaders. For example, in Iran. And that was the first one. It was easy, it was cheap, and that resulted in the Shah of Iran being put on the throne. Now, I don't have time nor the inclination to go into that, but what I want to say, there is a long history of Central Intelligence Agency, CIA covert operations. That is part of their mission. Don't confuse them with the National Security Agency. The National Security Agency is primarily responsible for what's called signal intelligence, interception of messages, whether that the messages are broadcast by radio, wireless, satellite, phones, over the internet. They are responsible for the interception, and if they're encoded, the decryption of those messages, their translation, and eventually, hopefully, some actionable intelligence. And the big bucks are spent on the National Security Agency. Even though the CIA gets a lot of the attention, the money and the people are much skewed to the National Security Agency. I don't know the exact number. Very few people do. But I would say somewhere in, this is a ballpark guess on my part, somewhere between 8 to 10 times and probably more in terms of the budget goes to the NSA. For every dollar that goes to the Central Intelligence Agency, probably $10 goes to the National Security Agency. Now, the Central Intelligence Agency, they have primarily responsibility for human intelligence. That's the recruitment of foreigners as agents to spy on their governments. And if those spies get caught, they usually get tried, tortured, and executed. And again, that's not something you want to read about in the papers. But that's part of their mission is espionage. Another part of the mission is so-called covert operations. And it's somewhat a military operation, but the military is not involved. A lot of the people that actually do this are former military, out of special operations groups such as the Navy SEALs or special forces in the Army. So the president today, if he wants the Central Intelligence Agency to engage in a covert operation, he has to sign a secret executive order authorizing the mission. Now, they're not going to broadcast or publish that executive order. It's highly classified, folks. But what has come out in newspaper reports as well as news reports is the president signed such an order, and what the Central the question is, what was the Central Intelligence Agency doing in Libya? Why were there at least 35 CIA employees in a CIA annex in Benghazi which is a highly dangerous area. It is. You need to have situational awareness as to what's going on. Because if they learn that Americans, especially CIA-connected agents, are there, the enemies in the United States will try to kill them. And that's exactly what they did successfully. So why was the Central Intelligence Agency there? What was their mission? What was the mission there? And see, that is not what has been exposed in the Oversight Committee. They're tipping all around it, tiptoeing all around it. It doesn't mean they haven't had classified hearings on it. I'm not saying that. Now, what was their mission? Their mission was to collect arms, rifles, pistols, ammunition, mortars, rockets, surface-to-air missiles, you name it, to collect it, aggregate it, and then ship it through Turkey to the rebels, Syrian rebels, FSA. Now, let me repeat that and emphasize something. Muammar Gaddafi was in power for many, many years, and he was very much a corrupt political leader and dictator, not a friend of the United States. I'm glad he's gone, and I think most Americans are. But what you have to understand, though, he stayed in power by the sale of oil from Libya. A lot of that money went into Gaddafi's pocket. But he, in turn, bought weapons in the international arms market, mainly from Russia, but other countries as well. And one of the weapons that he bought, actually upwards of 20,000 shoulder-mounted, so-called man-portable, shoulder-mounted surface-to-air missiles that can bring down airliners, military jets, helicopters, transports. Now, they have a limited range. It's about 10,000 feet. So you need to be fairly close to where the aircraft is flying. Now, if the aircraft is flying very high, the missile obviously can't hit it. Most airliners in the United States, for example, except when they're landing or taking off, are flying somewhere between 30 and 40,000 feet. It wouldn't hit them there, but here's the problem. When they're landing or taking off or flying at a much lower altitude, like several thousand feet above the ground, 5,000, 10,000, the missile is very accurate. So if you're in the range and the person knows how to use that weapon, they're very deadly, and they can bring down aircraft, civilian and military. And Gaddafi had bought over 20,000 of these, primarily from the Russians, and scattered them on military bases in Libya. Now, as a result of Gaddafi being overthrown, these weapons caches were broken into. Now, supposedly, the Central Intelligence Agency was able to get a hold of about half of them, and get a hold of them, either destroy them or collect them. The problem is the other half went to people, many of them, that are not friends of the United States. That's point one. But point two is, knowing this was the situation, and knowing a number of militia groups, the rebels in Libya, let me emphasize Libya first, had these, the CIA was tasked to collect those, buy them, make arrangements to buy them from the various groups, store them at the CIA annex for eventual shipment to Syria through Turkey. That's why Ambassador Stevens was meeting with a Turkish diplomat the day he was killed. He had dinner with him to discuss this. You see, ladies and gentlemen, that is what the big cover-up is about. Why was the CIA there? They don't want to explore that in public hearings, because ultimately what comes out is to ship weapons from Libya, including these surface-to-air missiles that a person can mount on his shoulder and shoot down, for example, a U.S. airline or a European airline. And we were sending these missiles, as well as pistols, ammunition, rifles, mortars, you name it, to Turkey on ships and planes for transshipment into Syria to try to overthrow Assad. The problem is many of the people that were receiving these weapons, and this was funded by Saudi Arabia, they supplied the money and some of the people to buy the weapons for shipment. Remember, what we have in Syria is the Sunnis versus the Shiites, where the Iranian regime, which is Shiite, is supporting Assad in Syria. And the Saudi regime, which is Sunni, as well as Arab, is supporting the Syrian rebels To date, over 150,000 people have been killed in this civil war. And what the CIA was involved with was a covert operation to supply these Syrian rebels with these weapons, and they were getting in the hands of people that were al-Qaeda or Islamic fanatics that are no friends to the United States or the American people. And if they ever got a hold of American, they would kill them, behead them. See, that's the cover-up. That's the dirty little cover-up that they're afraid to death will come out. And they should be. Because this borders, if not on treason, it is treason. Supplying weapons to the enemies of the United States? Are you kidding me? Of course they're lying through their teeth. Because if this ever comes out, it's impeachment time, folks. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD.